Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, Ida Williams here, and welcome to Postcards from the Edge, a podcast where every week I'll be having some amazing guests on, usually joined by my mom, Gwen, and my small-time first husband, Robbie Williams. He's a bit of a limelight stealer, so I will try and keep him to a minimum for you and for me. Every episode, we'll be chatting about our Anglo-American differences, which are huge now that I am an LA girl living in the United Kingdom, with a good bit of gossip thrown in as well. So let's get on to this week's guest. This week's guest is someone I have been wanting to have on the podcast for ages, but we're always in different places at different times. It's kind of funny how it took a global pandemic, which has separated everyone, to finally get us together. It is the incredible and amazing artist, actress, and all-around superwoman, Eve. Eve and I finally got together to chat about how life has been treating her in lockdown, what we miss about the good old US of A, and how we both cope with being married to Englishmen from Stoke-on-Trent. Here it is. One quick note. This episode is a bit rude and crude, with a few naughty words thrown in, so definitely not family-friendly listening. Sorry, kids. Okay, well, I just wanted to start off by saying a huge thank you to you, Eve, for coming on this podcast. I'm kind of geeking out because I feel like not only was I and have been a fan of yours since you first came on the scene, but also I remember one of my first guest stars ever being on your TV show, and you were so nice, and I had the best time, and it was just so weird when you. When you said you were going to do the podcast, it like brought me back to like 2004 and my excitement of being on your show and just how in awe I was of you because you just bossed that sitcom. And, you know, I've always been in awe, like how multifaceted you are. I mean, you're a Grammy winner, you're an actress, you're a host. I mean, you've got lots of tools in your toolkit. And yeah, I'm really excited. I had no idea that you had married an English person, by the way. And yeah. when we were looking it up, I mean, this is what so is amazing. Is first of all, my husband Rob completely geeked out because your husband Max is from Stoke-on-Trent, I believe.
Yes.
So yeah. We both managed to be girls in LA who married husbands from Stoke-on-Trent, which is so random.
That is
completely
random.
Right. Yeah. That's some random shit that we both ended up American girls marrying British husbands from the same Staffordshire area.
Yeah.
Which
no,
means
that-
like.
Crazy.
Right? Like by the way, one of my things, and I'm sure I'll go round in different circles because I'm not a very organized person with podcasts, but like, I was like, she'll know what oatcakes and pikelets are because she's yeah. married to someone from Stoke-on-Trent. Like,
I like oatcakes.
Aren't
the
they so good?
They're so good.
They're so good. Now, do you like yours with cheese and onion or with, like, how do you have your oatcake? How does Max have an oatcake? Like, yeah. How do you like your oatcake?
Cheese and onion. Of course, you know about this. Was it Branston pickle?
The Branston pickle.
Branston. I have to say, it's really good. They got some good condiments in England.
Right?
Really,
they have great condiments. They have great, they have way more condiments. I feel like we just have like mustard and ketchup. And yeah. They've got like everything. They've
brown
got like, what
sauce.
Is it? Brown sauce. That's it.
I
what
love
is the difference?
Sauce.
What do they make brown sauce with? Do you know what they make brown sauce
no,
with?
No, because if they told me, I would probably stop eating it. So I don't want to
right,
know.
Right, true. Fair
actually,
enough.
Is when, that,
when, is yeah, it no, it's better.
No.
I don't know what it is. Oh. I don't. You're right. I don't want to know. It's like that. Have you ever tried black pudding?
I love black pudding. I actually right? love black pudding.
It's so good.
Mac doesn't like it.
Does he not like it? See, I loved it, but then they told me what it was, and now it freaks me out.
Okay, so I do know what it is, and I still eat it, so I guess I can learn brown sauce.
And you could probably deal with the brown sauce. The brown sauce can't be worse than the black pudding. Did you guys meet? I was reading that you met at one of the Gumball events. Was that in London, or was that in LA?
It was actually in Ibiza. So it was the... Oh. Gumball...
Sexy.
Yeah, it was the Gumball from Miami to Ibiza. And we actually got legally married in Miami at the courthouse and then drove to, where did we fly from that one? Oh, did we fly to New York? I think we flew from New York. I can't remember where we flew from, but into London. It was JFK. We flew from JFK to London. And then I flew from London to Ibiza and he came in like 3 days later. And then we got married a few days after. Actually, he got there a day after, and then we got married like 3 days later because we wanted the Gumballers to be there. So it was intimate and very civilized in the beginning, and then we had a crazy party at the end.
See, that sounds like, I mean, Ibiza, Rob and I love Ibiza.
It's amazing.
There's there's a special vibe, isn't it, with Ibiza?
It's amazing. Honestly, it's amazing. Even with this craziness that's happening right now, it's like we were looking at each other like, are we doing a vacation? Should we go back to Ibiza? Even though everything's closed.
We did the same thing, by the way. By the way, we've been looking into the same thing. I think, first of all, we've had cabin fever. Even though we're in a beautiful house, we're like, we're still fucking here. And we just started to research going to Ibiza on a holiday. Even though there's like nothing open. I was like, maybe we just... What?
It's nice. It'll be nice. It'll
That's
be
what I mean.
Nice.
Like, especially if you go, like, you could even go like North Shore it and just be like, "Yep, I'm going in for the chill vibes. I'm not doing anything. I'm just hanging."
Try something real quick.
Are you trying the pods?
Let me see if it works. Oh, fudge my life. This has been all day, by the way.
So why is the internet so funky today? Did they give you a reason, or it's just decided not to work?
No, you know, it's crazy. We've all had it. Like all the ladies at some point. Something happens to someone during the week. It does not matter. Like
it's never like a full run through easy.
Oh no. It's like there's someone who pops in and out at some point.
Like how are you? That's an interesting, like how are you doing that show remotely? Because that seems like a really, like I have difficult just doing like a Zoom conversation with girlfriends. Like I can't imagine doing a TV show with everyone chiming in with the rhythms online. Like how has that been working?
It's been good and also frustrating and also hilarious and also angry. Like for us, we laugh at it, but I'm sure the director, the producers are probably like the whole time when something goes wrong. I have to say the team of people who are working on this show, all the producers and the editors and the writers and the, you know, our director, they're so incredible. I don't know how they made this happen. I don't know how they make it happen every week. We just have to literally click on the link and show up. So like they like do all the extra stuff work.
But it's amazing how quickly like these shows kind of galvanized and figured out how to do this right away.
Because
it was like lockdown, oh, the world's fucked. And then all of a sudden there were still shows happening, which is amazing that they like,
it's
they
incredible.
Just like send you a kit and some lights. Like how do they, what are like the briefings in the morning? Like the meetings, like how do you do all that?
It's, you know what? So the first few weeks were kind of like, wait, I have to set up a ring light. Now I have like a special bag for my ring light. Now I have
a ring bag.
No, can I tell you? So the other day, I went and shot something at Max's office just for a different background because we're hosting the daytime Emmy. So I was like, let me go do it somewhere that's kind of a little more cool, a little more fun. A little more fabulous because our house is super chill. Like I'm hippie and he's extra like art. So I was like, I wanted to do it somewhere else. And so I had my ring light, I had my bag, I had my fans. I felt like I looked like one of those really cool photographers. Like I had on a really cute dress and I was like,
you,
I wonder if
you felt cute out.
Yeah, like I'm like, I wonder if people look at me and think I'm like this cute photographer.
Like, I love that you were like, you should just like kind of just walk on the street, even if you have like nowhere to go with your like ring
right.
And see if like people give you props. I feel like that's a
lot. I might get work. I might get work. Like, people might be like,
right? Literally, like, who's that girl I want to work with? And you have like all your kit out and you could just like be like mobile entertainment any moment.
Exactly.
Now, what is it? Now, here's another one. What do you do about, how do you do? Because this would be my, because I'm so insecure with my hair and my makeup. What do you do about hair and makeup?
Girl.
The situation.
That I had to come to terms with. I watched a lot of, I was like, is there no way I could do this with full like sunglasses? I trust
like
hats, sunglasses. I tried to negotiate.
You do all of that? I feel like that would be my biggest emotional hurdle is going on national television, having prepped myself at home.
Girl.
That's great.
But
that's
I have to say, if you find the right YouTube videos, and I have an amazing makeup artist named Ernesto, who I am missing, and hair girl, Angela, I am missing. But I do have a dope girl here in London, so at least for hair. And actually, I have good makeup here, but obviously we haven't seen each other. But he helped me out with some tips. And then I just watched a bunch of YouTube videos, I swear. But good ones. Not those terrible ones.
Like, I don't even know how to contour. I don't even know how to contour. Like, I'd be lost. I'd be like in a river without an oar.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, what I'll say. Start very light. Because right. I have definitely over contoured and looked at myself in the Zoom and was like, fuck. Whose face is that? Who's this chick on here? So just start light.
That's what I'll do. I mean, I've started with nothing today. Do you find now? Here's the thing.
Great. I mean, I know people know where this is audio, but your skin's amazing. Like, you look great.
Oh, bless you. No, your skin's amazing. Mine is like, mine looks a bit like, wow, I've not taken care of myself and no one's seen me in 5 months.
Well,
honestly, I'll take it. You know what? I'm not going to be that person and say no. I'm going to receive that compliment with gratitude. Hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to it. Put it in my back pocket for a moment when I'm feeling wobbly, and then I'm going to pull it out of my back pocket and feel fierce.
Yes.
Do you know what I think? Now, this is controversial, and your people in London will get really mad at me, and so will my people. But I do find that like the hair and makeup is just on a tip in LA that's so far higher. Why is it so 100%. Good here? Right? Like, I struggle.
I agree. And listen, it took me a long time. I now have to say I have a nice arsenal when I do have things here that I know exactly who to call for, exactly. But I've been living here now for, God, I've been going back and forth for 10 years, but officially like 6 years. It took me a long time to find them. And I don't think that's disrespect in any way. I think I'm just saying it in the sense that, because if any artist gets mad, most artists look to American artists with hair and makeup for the trends anyway. So I think that is a fair statement.
I think it's a fair thing to say, because most of the time I say UK is better on every front. And I too have like an arsenal of people now that I finally found that I think, okay, this is amazing. But I know it took me years to find like colorists and makeup artists. Because I have extensions too. So like get the extensions right, get the color, the hair quality. I mean, I've definitely looked like I had a broomstick on my head many times.
Oh, girl. Before. Yes. Hey, Max has definitely been like, where are you going? What's happening? What's the problem?
By the way, I loved in the brief when you were like, I knew he was the one because he saw me without my weave. And I was like, I so related to that because I remember the time when like I had no extensions in my hair and I felt like a bald eagle. And I was like, well, girl, I must really love him if I'm going to let him see me like this.
And you know what? I feel like once you get through, when you get past that, you're like, that's it. This is good.
That's it.
It's done. When they're not shocked, when they're not like,
when they're not horrified, when they see it and they don't run. It was like, I had like no hair. And then I pulled out, there was like one day I was like, fuck it. He's got to see it. And I pulled out like my security blanket from childhood. And I was like, if he can handle seeing this, and my hair, then he must really love me. And this is it.
100%. Yes. I love that. But that's true. I tell my girlfriends that. I have a friend who, the girl who does my hair here, actually, she has a client, she tells me, that she's been married to her husband. God, they must be married, I don't know, 15, 16. He still has never seen her. Really?
No.
I don't know how.
How does she do that in quarantine, by the way? That's a magic trick.
You know what? I wonder. I'm going to ask about that. I don't know.
You need to ask about that. Because I have a girlfriend whose partner has never seen her without extensions. And I'm like, I want to know, in quarantine, have you risked it? I think she's risked it. I think she's risked it. She's risked it.
If quarantine has taught us anything, our extensions are not that, I mean, they are important.
But they're not as important as,
yes.
It was like nails all went out the window.
Oh God.
Hair went out the window. Like,
can I tell you, when I get back into that pedicure chair and they can get that extra layer off, and you know what I'm talking about, I'm going to be the happiest person that ever lived.
They're going to be like scrubbing and shaving for like an hour when I put my hoof up in that little 100%. Thing. That poor lady is going to be like,
I know, I'm really sad for her. I am.
She's going to get PTSD. Honestly, those poor girls. They're going to see some shit they've never seen before.
I love it. I love it. Wait, so how long, can I ask you, how long have you been going back and forth? Because you're in LA now, but...
Yeah, so I love that we've swapped. I mean, why are we not in the same city at the same time?
I know!
I met Rob in very beginning of 2007.
Okay.
And he kind of, I remember it because we went to look at this house. We weren't engaged or anything. And he saw this house in Wiltshire and he kind of convinced me to move. And I was still really in the throes of my career. And I remember I was so in love with him, but there was no ring on the finger. And he definitely had disappointed me in the past. So there was this real conflict. And I finally agreed to go over there. And the day that I agreed, the day that we landed, I got offered another sitcom. And he said, turn it down. I want you to be with me. And that was the moment when I really, it was like the fork in the road. Because you know how hard it is to get a gig. You like no one ever offered me series before. I had to work hard. You know, here I'm getting it offered. It was like an ABC show. And I said no to it. And he said it was in that moment that I said no. And I went to live with him. Then he knew that he would always protect me and always take care of me. And that was like, but I didn't know it at the time.
Of course, you
know, he could have completely fucked with me again and just destroyed my life. So it was a leap of faith.
Oh, no, 100%.
I think I've been going back and forth since 2009. So like same thing, a good 10, 11 years.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
Like, it's, I love England. Like, what did you think of England when you first, okay, so you meet Max, right?
Yeah.
And there's like fireworks and there's like this connection.
Yeah.
How do you take it from there? Like, does he go like, come live with me?
England? If we were long distance for a year. I met him, because I'd been to London before as well. Like, it's funny, before I met him, years before, I always said I would either live in Paris or France for like 6 months. Paris or London for 6 months. Well, 6 months or a year, just whatever. And then I'd always come back and forth for music, and I've always loved it. And then I got asked to be on Gumball. Like, I got asked, not even by him, by Puma was one of the sponsors, and they entered a car. And my best friend was friends with one of the girls and was like, hey, would she want to do this? I was like, hell yeah, let's go. Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I met him that night. We met, was just like, oh, he's kind of cute. And then we had this amazing week. But I literally was like, I'll never see this dude again. This was a nice fling for the week. Like, he's also, there's no way that he's a one girl guy. Like, so I kind of put it
out.
You
wrote him off as like fun. You wrote him off.
Exactly. I literally, in my head, I was like, okay, cool. So I get back to LA. He calls me like a day later, 2 days later, and was like, I'm flying to LA this weekend. And I was like, why?
Well, you're like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I was like,
I love that. He probably thought you'd be so excited and go like, oh my God. And you were like, why?
I was like, why? And so he was like, to see you. And I was like, oh, cool. I was like, okay.
Okay.
But even still then, I was, of course, excited because and it's funny because when I got married, I have a lot of guy friends. So when I got married, a few of them came, and one of them came up to me and hugged me so hard. And he was like, you know, I remember you saying, before you met Max, the next man you met, you wanted to be your husband, and you did it. And I was like,
wow.
Oh shit, I did. Like, I didn't even think of that.
I just got chills. Wow.
No, it's true because you know how it is in LA. It is hard to date in LA, girl.
Fucking sucks. It sucks so bad.
It sucks all the ass
of all the assholes in all of the world.
Collective.
It's horrible.
It's brutal. And I was kind of in that place. Well, one, I had just been in so many dumb ass flings. It was just like, and you know, and I'd been through the let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I became the
let's just see what happens, girl. Like that shit's natural. And it's not that when you're in a fucking adult and you have feelings for someone, just show up. Just show up.
And it's okay. It's okay to say, I like you. And for the other person to say, I like you back. And there to be like no games in between.
100%. 100%. And I remember saying to my friend that, you know, I do want the next guy to come get me because I'm sick of kind of pretending like I'm okay with just seeing what happens. Yeah,
exactly. I do care what
happens. I'm done with that. Yeah. Yes. So when I met him, I was definitely, I also had kind of written off relationships. You know, when you get to that point, where you're just like, whatever.
Yeah, that's how I was. I was kind of in the same way. I was like, it's just not going to happen for me. I'm going to be a career girl. That's fine. I love my career. I'm like, you know, the guys are so disappointing and so flaky and bullshit in LA, you know, and you kind of like, you put that wall. If you get hurt enough by these stupid games where you have to like pretend like you don't care or you're not that keen either. And you're like, why can't it just be easy where I like the person and they like me?
Totally. So
you get to that stage where you're just like, oh, whatever. It's not going to happen. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
You know, let's just keep it moving.
Yeah.
And then exactly. the brick comes in and like completely shatters the whole wall.
You know why? Because they are, I have to say, it's, listen, not that they're all there's good guys, bad guys everywhere on both sides of the world, wherever. But I do have to say, I feel like Brits are just more family oriented. And I do feel like they're a little more direct, at least the 100%. Ones, you know, so, and I think with Max, especially, I don't know about Robbie, but Max was married before me. I'm his second marriage. He had kids and all that stuff. And for me, it was like, I'd always said, I would never be with a guy again, because I'd been there too, with a baby mom and kids and all this stuff. And here it is.
You got four. You didn't just get one. You got four.
Four. And it was four. Like, what? But he just was, it just is what it is. And I'm thankful and grateful. And it actually, he anchored me. Like I mean, I'm still kind of wild when I can sleep off my hangover, but, you know. But, you know, when we met, I was kind of doing club shows. I was like traveling a ton. And then I would like go away and be somewhere in Germany. He'd be like, well, meet me back in London and we'll go to my parents' house in Worcestershire or like, and I'm just like, what's my life?
All of a sudden it's like party wild, and then it's like rooted in the English countryside and a family, and like
how
180. How did I end up here?
It's just nuts.
No, but that's another thing, because you got like an instant family with him. Because I have four kids now, and I find it's a lot. It's a lot. And I had time to gradually, you know, acquire one at a time. Do you know what I mean? I didn't like give birth to quadruplets.
Right. So
it was like, you know, and it was like, and it was definitely a choice between me and Rob, and it, you know, it evolved. But you went from being a single girl, you know, out on your own to all of a sudden a man from a different country, a life in a different country with four children. Like that's like a,
I remember our first like family vacation. We, it was our time to kind of have the kids for the summer, and we went to Morocco, and it was great and it was nice. But then I remember texting my friend like, girl, how do you day drink and watch kids?
I can tell you.
Well, now that I've been in Britain enough that I'm just like, hey, what's going on?
Day drinking is how you get through parenting.
It's how you get through it. I've learned.
It's a key. Also, after bedtime, a glass of wine is also essential to refuel. You need it. It's like your mental high five.
Once
you've checked them all in, you get like a little self-care of the glass of wine.
Yes. No, I've learned. I've completely learned.
Do they?
I have to say, like, go ahead.
Go. No, I was going to say, do they like make fun of you? Because obviously, like, I know, like, all of Rob's family and friends make fun of my American accent. They think I talk loud. Like, there's things they don't know. Do they? You've got four. Yeah. kids. I imagine, do they take the piss out of you? Do they go, like,
they
because you're the lone American?
They do. And they do. I think they think I'm hilarious. First of all, also, I still am. I just grew up when I turned 40. I'm 41. So I think they think I think I'm a kid. So, okay, yes. A kid. So they're like, I think they just think I'm crazy pants. And because I, you know what, too, I've been very careful with them in the sense that because I had a stepdad who I didn't get along with. And it wasn't, and I just remember feeling like when I was little, why is nobody, and not in these words, because I think those these words are too big, but why is nobody considering my feelings as to what my my life has changed? It's been me and my mom, and now this man moves in, and no one's asking me how I feel. And so when we got married, and obviously they're also products of divorce, which that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole, I mean, I'm the same as you. I had a stepdad too. And it was like, it had just been me and my mom for so long. And then all of a sudden there was like this new person and this new family, and you kind of feel like shelved on the outside, you know, and like no one's checking in with you. So that's, by the way, they're so lucky that they have a stepmom that gets it, because to come into that dynamic.
I never wanted them to feel like, oh, here I am. I'm not, you have your mother, you have your dad. And also figuring out, and it's what made me have empathy, like full circle for my stepdad, because how do you figure your role? How do
your position, because it's intimidating, isn't it? Like I would imagine, I don't know it from your end about coming into a new family, but I would imagine it'd be like very intimidating to go, okay, well, am I supposed to discipline them in this way? Am I allowed to do that? Or am I a hypocrite for trying to step into that role? Where do my parental kind of like duties lie? Because, you know, like if they do something wrong is, you know, and I'm like, are you and Max ever on a different page with something, you know, and like, where does that play in?
And we've had like in the beginning, I remember he has said to me in the past, like, well, why don't you discipline enough? And I'm like, well, because I'm still figuring it out. And this was in the beginning. Now I have to say when anything happens, I'm probably, I am the more calm wanting to understand why opposed to listen,
jumping into why this is wrong.
But they also don't push my buttons like they do their mom and their dad. There's a whole, you know what I mean? So
you must be like a safety zone for them in some way.
Do I hope so. I do actually hope so. Yeah,
just talking to you, I can tell that you would be a safe haven in a dynamic where, you know, like they can push dad, they can push mom, but they can kind of turn to you for that kind of objective,
That's what I hope to be. That's because like I said, they have their mom, they have their, who also are great. Like we were just all together as a family. My oldest stepdaughter just turned 18.
Oh my God, you've got an 18-year-old?
Listen. And so we flew to Denmark for her birthday. And her mom was there and her stepdad and then their kids. And like, we hang out and we talk and we laugh. And if something comes up that's big with the kids, then we talk about it, you know.
That's so good.
It's huge. And I have to say, for me, it's helped me with just people. Being on the show that I'm on, opening up and being vulnerable has helped. But I was like a little hermit, I feel like, before. Yeah.
Me too. I mean, you know, me too. I didn't really know much about anything till kind of Rob dragged me to the other side of the world. I was kind of like you, because my grandmother lived in Paris my whole life. Oh. So I just wanted to live in Paris because it's my favorite city. Yeah. And I always felt like, I don't know if you felt like this, but when I was dating in LA, which was awful and tragic, as we just discussed, I always felt like a square peg in a round hole, because nobody, like I was crazy too. Like no one got my sense of humor. Everyone was so literal. You know what I mean? There was no like outside the box really. You know, and then I met like Rob, and it was like this person who had this wicked sense of humor, who was textured and layered and had dark and light. And he kind of opened my world. And when I got to England, I felt like I'd found my spirit animal people, because it was like people who tell it to you how it is. They're honest with none of this fake bullshit of like, hi. Yeah. And then slagging you off, you know, like they'll be shitty to your face and great to your face.
Exactly.
And I love that. I appreciate that. And you can, and the kind of dialogue and humor you can have with people like is so much cooler than LA.
It's because they don't take themselves so seriously. Most people do not. They just don't. But there's so many eccentric characters here. And I hate to say the word eccentric. I don't even think it's that. I just think that because they don't take themselves seriously, they're okay with just being who the fuck they are. Exactly. And that's how it should be. And where a place 100%. Like LA,
everyone wants to fit, try to fit in or try to be something and being so scared. It's like you're there for you want to get to LA and be discovered because you're this unique person, but
there's
not
nothing unique about you because
you're trying nothing to fit unique.
In. You're just trying to fit in. It's like, how many times can you imagine? Like, do you know, it's like you go to fucking Hyde or the Mondrian or wherever.
Girl, Hyde. Wait. Oh, I just had
Did you have a flashback? Did I give you a flashback? Did I give you a Hyde flashback?
Ooh, girl. Ooh,
or Area 51, all that shit. Las Palmas. Exactly. Duh.
Ooh, all Las Palmas. Ouch. Wait. Ouch.
Right?
We're the same age.
So our organs are shutting down at the same time. They can relate. But
Do you remember Teddy's?
Of course I remember Teddy's.
I remember once telling my friend, I'm going to have to name my firstborn Teddy. Because
stop it.
I spent more time at Teddy's. I used to live up the street from there. So even if I didn't want to go out, stop I'd be it. Like, I'm not going out. Of course I wound up in Teddy's with my juicy sweatsuit on and my fucking
juicy sweatsuit. Well, it's perfect that you're talking to me because my first child is called Teddy.
No way! That is
I have hilarious. A Teddy. I took the ball and I ran it home. I took the ball and I ran it home. From my liver to my womb.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, it's so
like everyone in those clubs is just like looking around, trying to kind of, you know, be cool and there might be a director here and you know, kind of looking past you and dumb conversations and
dumb conversations.
Like a Maybach pulls up and like 30 girls flock.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and it's just like, it's so, I remember at the time, because I would go out in attempts of like meeting people and I would come home and I had my three dogs. And I remember my mom would go, no one is ever going to want to date you with three dogs staying at home. And it would just be so demoralizing going out. And that was what was waiting, you know? So like meeting Rob was like, oh my God, like a real person with thoughts.
A real person. Yep.
And personality who's like wearing his heart on his sleeve instead of all this bullshit. It was like, whoa.
LA will mess you up. I do tell people that. I'm like, you know, when you come to LA, it's best to me, even, I mean, as an adult, obviously it's different, but at the same time, you need one to know who you are, period. What you stand for, who you are. Two, hopefully you already have a gig or you've gotten on a gig to keep you busy because otherwise you're just out there with the losers. And that's what happened to me. Like I had my TV show, which I need to bring, this is such a full circle crazy situation. I did. So when you were on the show, you didn't know Rob then.
No, right? And this is the funniest bit was
Sean McGuire.
He's the one, but no, here's the thing. Okay, so I was gonna tell you. Okay, so the episode I did, for whatever reason, Sean McGuire was not in that episode, right? He wasn't, it was like—
Oh yeah, that's right, he wasn't. I watched the moment today, I was dying,
So he was not in it, okay? So he was not in it, but I remember hearing his name because obviously he was a cast member. And then, so like several years later, I ended up on a TV show on the Warner Brothers lot and I was on stage 19 and he was on stage 20. So we would kind of like see each other, right?
I love it. Yeah.
And then his best friend was a guy named Callum, who was also English.
I remember
and Callum was a really good friend of mine, which is how I met Rob. It was Sean McGuire and Callum set me up with Rob.
No, because Sean used to say to me, oh, I'm going to my friend Robbie's house to play football. I had no clue who Robbie was.
Me neither.
Not even a, right?
By the way, I really appreciate you saying that because nobody believes me. When I go to England, I'm like,
now I know he's a demigod, obviously.
Yeah, but you didn't when you were in LA, right? I didn't know. No. I'd never heard of angels. I didn't know who the fuck he was. And no one in England can believe me. So I'm glad here is my witness.
Thank you. Yeah, because Sean used to be like, you must know who he is. I was like, I don't know who that man is, okay? I don't know who that man, Robbie Williamson? Williams? What? I don't know who he is. And he used to get so like, come on.
Fluster, you gotta know. Playing. Yeah, they honestly, people think I'm lying. Like, oh, come on. You knew who he was. You knew he was.
No.
Not a clue.
And I'm sure, you know what? I know. I'm sure Robbie loved that as well.
I think that was one big thing. Like people, you know, they say, oh my God, because being married to Rob, wasn't that like a big thing? Were you so intimidated? Or how are you married to someone like Robbie? You know? And for me, what was great was I didn't know who he was. And I don't mind calling bullshit on him. It's like, I get to be myself. If he does something I don't like, I go, that's bullshit. you know, there's no intimidation. Whereas like if I was dating Brad Pitt, I probably, part of me would be like, oh my God, it's Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
you know
every, I mean? Day. What?
Every day. I'd be like, oh my God. I'd probably be like a really weird super fan in his house.
Oh yeah, it'd be terrible and amazing and terrible.
It'd be terrible and amazing. I mean, mostly amazing from my end and pretty terrible from his end. But
yeah.
But like with Rob, it's really great. Because I didn't know who he was, I didn't get to know him on any other level than who he was. You know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Like his fame didn't bother me because I didn't know his fame and I didn't grow up with him and I didn't have a poster of him. So yeah. I could just enjoy him as he was
and really get to know him. And yeah, I love that. I love, love, love that. Yeah.
And it was so nice because he took 3 years off when we met each other. So we really got to be in this kind of like bubble where yeah. we fell in love away from any kind of storylines or paparazzi or anything. And it wasn't till after 3 years that I kind of went into his world and got to see how kind of crazy it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was nice because we got to kind of nurture that little seed. Like with you Absolutely. And with you and Max, obviously it probably was like a different dynamic too, because obviously you're really well known. How did he handle?
He didn't really know. He knew of me. And even for the night of that, his event, I actually performed. That was part of my agreement with Puma, is that I had to perform at like the party. And even that night, I can still see him now like watching me. And he was just like I knew of you, but I didn't know that that was you. And he's still the same. It's never been about music though for him or my career. He's very, I've never had someone who is just has my back and just is so proud no matter what I do. Like no matter what I do, like whether it's music or TV or whatever, or whether it's like, well, I don't know how I'm feeling about this right now or this thing right now. He's just very supportive. So, and we've never had any, like he could care less. He teases me. And that's the one thing that I made me really like him, is that none of the other guys I was dating, I felt like they were intimidated. Like they didn't have the balls to fuck with me. And he would tease me so bad. And I'd be like, oh, but I loved it. Like,
but
it
you
was
love
so,
it.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like the English, that's what I mean. I think it's like that English sensibility too. And also like not being intimidated by your fame is like with Rob, I will literally tease him so badly about not being famous in America. And he will tease me. He will make all sorts of comments towards me. And I love that. I love that, you know, like I feel like American guys, they don't even have that in them. You know, it's just like not part of their DNA, you know? And like, you need someone to ride you.
100%. And it's funny. I can be very, like, even though I come from hip hop, I'm like, I definitely am outspoken, especially with my music and stuff, but in my life, like in me, like my friends know me and my family knows I'm a very, I hold a lot of stuff in. I'm very kind of quiet. I do take shit seriously because I'm a worrier. I come from a family of worriers.
Me too.
So I'm always just like, and Max is so like, just chill. It's not even here yet. Like, why are you worrying about that now? Like, there's nothing we could do about it. And I'm like,
but I'm freaking out. Rob is like that.
Yeah. See, that's so nice.
It's good. He can take me. I wish I had like, you know, one thing, I don't know if it's like, I'm a warrior like you too. And it's like with Rob, there's like this innate, and I don't know if it's his Englishness or his, you know, I always make fun of Rob for being north of the wall. I say you come from north of the wall, but like he's quite confident in he's relaxed where I'm not relaxed. He'll kind of go, babe, why are you creating something that doesn't exist? Why are you panic? It is what it is. Just chill.
Oh God,
I love that confidence. And even when I can doubt myself, because I can doubt myself on so many levels, and
he'll
be like, you don't give yourself, you know. He just kind of centers me, and he makes me a better person for that. Because I think I'd be the most neurotic ball of mess if it wasn't for him just like grounding me down. I really miss the California weather.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends.
For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So how do you handle, because I'm always cold and England is freezing.
No, I agree. Handle it? I have to say, yeah, that part is not great. I don't care how many sweaters or hats or whatever. When it's beautiful here, London is a different city. England
is the best place on earth. When England has great weather, there's no other better place.
That is the truth. But when it gets gray and cold, when you look out the window and you're like, I can't go outside today. How am I actually, there's no way I'm going outside.
There's no physical possibility.
There's no way. There's no physical possibility. So that part, no, I have not gotten okay with. But I have to say, I don't know if you have noticed this. For me, the last like 2.5 years in LA, or 3 years, because I've been doing the show now that long, the weather's different than back in the day. Like, I feel like it rains a bit more.
Rains so much more. Like, even in, I remember, like, because you were in LA with lockdown when it happened, and then you brought Hendrix over. Do you remember that weather was so shit for like 2 weeks? It was like the end of the earth. It was like the worst English winter's day. And I was like, what is this?
No, it's terrible.
And it's been gloomy here. By the way, it's been gloomy here right now. Like, you're in England. Yeah. It's been like, I mean, I can't complain to the English listeners, but it's been like hitting the 50s at night.
Right. And you know what? Someone's going to hear that and be like, Oh, I know. That's cold.
That's freezing. That's like, yeah. We watched a movie in the garden. Cause like, obviously because of quarantine, we've been trying to do like social distancing in the garden and whatever. So we had a play date in the garden. And so we watched a movie in the garden, and everyone was making fun of me. Cause I had a full on puffer jacket, like head to toe sweatshirt. Rob was in shorts. I was dressed ready from some sort of like North Pole challenge. And Rob was in tropical shorts and a sweatshirt. I was like, how?
No, but see, okay, the kids will tease me on that stuff, because especially Minnie, the youngest one, she's like 11 now. This just happened. We were in Denmark. We were by the seaside. And I'm like, it is freezing. She's like, I'm boiling. And I'm like, how can you be boiling? But that's the one thing they will say, like, I'll be like, you guys cold? And they're like, no.
Yeah, that's exactly the same with me. I'm the only one that's cold. And Rob will literally be like, you can't possibly be cold. And I'm like, it's not like some fun game I'm pretending to put on. I'm like, I'm purple right now. Like my hands are blocks of ice. This isn't like, yes, I'm cold. He cannot understand it. He does not understand how I could be cold.
I haven't gotten it yet. I do have to say, I do appreciate when it's Christmas here.
Oh, that's the best.
Christmas is a religion, I feel like, here, and it is
for
done
sure.
in a beautiful way that the cold is not the same, because you're kind of just like...
No, it's like a perfect cold, because it's festive cold. Totally. It's a Now, have you... This is something that I was totally... Like, it was a revelation for me when I met Rob, because before I met Rob, I didn't really like chocolate. I wasn't really bothered. But now with English chocolate, oh my God, I fucking love chocolate. Like, I didn't, you know, because like we grew up with like Hershey's, Nestle's, you know, Reese's. Yeah. Like, do you like the Cadbury's, or do you prefer American chocolate?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was like, wait, our chocolate. But when you think about it and you taste the difference, there is a difference.
Like, come on, you got so many options in England. There's just like, there's like Flake, there's Arrow, there's Cadbury's, there's Terry's chocolate orange. Have you ever had a Terry's chocolate orange?
Yes. So every Christmas, that's a tradition, which I think is so cute. My husband's mom gives him a chocolate orange because his grandmother used to do it. And I used to eat it.
That's what I do. I give him a chocolate orange. In his stocking every year, he gets a chocolate orange. It's like his thing. I feel like they probably have a lot of similar, like what's the most English thing you would say about Max? Like, what's the most like quintessentially English thing you've noticed about him?
It's funny because he is so, and I'm sure the same with Robbie, he is so left when it comes to a lot of things that he does and obviously gumball and things. But when it comes to tradition in any way of like, whether it's Christmas lunch or speeches or writing in a book or giving a card, like it's, yeah, those things are not to be questioned or played with. Like,
Non-negotiables.
And when the queen is about to make a speech.
Oh yeah. We do. Yeah.
Nothing.
Is Max a big football? Because now I have to say, do you do this thing too, where like when you come to America, you say football and then you have to correct yourself and go, yes, soccer. Yes. Because like people look at you like you're like Madonna and you're being a dick. You're like, no. I mean, you know what I mean? You know, soccer, football. You know, I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, no, but it's true. I do the same thing. Yes. Yeah. I have to do the same thing. Like, oh, we were watching football. I mean, soccer. He's Chelsea all day.
He's Chelsea. See, I want our kids to be Chelsea supporters.
Who do you support? Or who does Rob support?
Rob supports Man United.
Okay, yeah.
But I feel like because we live in London, by the way, it's no disrespect because I love Man United, but when we live in London, it's like the only local game around the corner. So like, I'd rather my kids get to go to local games than never go to a game.
But 100%.
So are all your kids Chelsea supporters?
No, but I guess that's like a no-no here at all. Like you gotta have having two football. You can't.
No,
have
you
two
can't. You're not allowed. That's like I feel like in America, I can love the Lakers and I can also love like the Suns. You know, like whatever. I can like the Utah Jazz. But here, I feel like you're only allowed in England. You can only love one team.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Actually,
you know, like gets like heated.
Yeah, it does. I actually was on a Zoom thing I had to do recording, and one of the producers from LA, actually, he lived in LA, but he was from West Ham, I think.
West Ham.
And he said to me, like, who does your husband support? And I'm like, Chelsea. He was like, divorce him now. Yeah. And then Max was there and they had a whole thing. Max started throwing up shirts while I'm working.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And then
they throwing up shirts.
He throws up a Chelsea shirt. This guy turns his computer on and shows us all his shirts on the wall. I'm like, okay,
but Rob says, you know, Rob always says to me, because it's like, it's so English. He goes, if I ask a guy what his team is and he says he doesn't have a team and he doesn't support football, he goes, I'm automatically suspicious. He's like, I can't be friends with someone who doesn't support a football team. But that's a very English thing, isn't it? Like a super... Like, and people will get in fights about what team they support and their team is, but it's like a real dividing line.
That's true.
Does Max ever use, because sometimes Robbie uses on me, he uses Cockney rhyming slang. Have you been exposed to that?
I have, but not that he uses. I think when we first got together, it was like our, you know, like me learning stuff. But
Yeah.
On me. Yeah.
Did you find, I found like words, like I didn't know what polystyrene was for a really long time.
Oh my God. And aluminum.
Aluminum, right?
Aluminum. It's so much easier.
It's so much easier. You have to put so much less effort into aluminum. It's just like aluminum.
I just had this conversation with him like 2 days ago about aluminum. It is really annoying.
It's so annoying, but I always lose the fight because everyone in my house is English. So I'm always the one like wrong. Oh, yeah. You feel like that with the four kids and Max. You're always going to be the
100%.
Wrong one.
When we first got together and I would say like, oh, you're going to change your pants? And they'd be like, what? Like,
the I'm pants.
Like,
pants. I
mean, you know what I mean? I'd be like,
that's what I mean. Because I say pants all the time and I forget people are thinking I'm talking about underpants.
Yeah.
And also like, I didn't know, like, I don't know if, well, I don't know if you do like, I don't know if you do lots of live TV in England, but there are certain words that I didn't know were bad words that Robbie had taught me. Like, you know, when it's pissing down raining, you've heard that, right? Right. Well, I didn't know pissing it down was a bad thing. And I remember being on Loose Women and I'm talking about it, pissing it down. All of a sudden, the whole audience went,
so and you I was like, can't say pissing it down?
No, you can't say pissing it down. I had to do a live apology.
No. Are you serious?
That is not a word you can say.
I've heard worse words, actually.
No, you can't say pissing it down. And also, you can't say, you've heard of a guy's bollocks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bollocks. So I didn't know. I just thought that was a word for balls. I thought you could say balls.
Yeah.
I also learned on Loose Women that you can't say bollocks live either.
Oh, damn.
I know, but they don't. But I was about to say, it's I feel like it's not a bad word, right? Like pissing it down, raining, and I still can't understand why it's like a no-no.
Yeah.
But like, I imagine that you have some of the same like northern vernacular words that I have because our men are from literally the same place.
Yeah, he's like, he will tease me about certain things, or sometimes he'll be like, I'm trying to think, what's a word that I always say that he's like, what did you just say? And also, I'm from Philly, so sometimes my Philly comes out and it's like it's a whole extra ball game. Yeah, he's like, I completely do not understand what you just said at all.
That is
like,
so funny.
I say to people, like, we all speak English, but it's a different type of English.
What about when, because Rob makes fun of me when I get together with, like, my girlfriends or whatever. You know, it's like, we're all kind of talking fast and loud and over. Like, when you get together with your family, I imagine you go into, like, family Philly mode, right, like, Philly. American. That's what I mean. So does Max kind of go...
Oh yeah, no, he'll be like, as soon as you start talking to them, you go so fast. And then I have a cousin, my cousin Takia, and I guess it's a Philly thing, which I never noticed before. We do yeah. So as soon as I hang up, he's like, yeah. Like, conversation. That's all you did the whole time.
Yeah. That's so funny. It's so fun. I feel like Max and Rob, we should get them. I feel like we should have them together so they can make fun of us and tell 100%. Like how it really is from their eyes.
Yeah.
Because like,
yes,
I know
that would be good,
wouldn't it? Because they're like, literally they'll have the same cultural references and we're both LA chicks and they and we're the same age.
Yeah.
So like the same references.
Exactly.
Like I feel like Rob was, honestly, he was so excited when he read that Max was from Stoke, because it's like, I feel like there's like a little community. We used to live across from, in our old house, we used to live across from Slash. And Slash, whose real name is Saul Hudson, is from Stoke-on-Trent as well.
No way!
Yes, Slash is from Stoke-on-Trent.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
I know he was there because he has these stories, Stoke-on-Trent. Because now my sister-in-law actually lives up there.
In Stoke.
And he was born in this little hospital, because I don't know what happened, in this place called Stone that is like teeny weeny. Maybe ask Rob about it.
But Robbie knew Stone. He saw Stone. He knew Stone.
Teeny, apparently.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is
Robbie definitely knew Stone, because he was like, he's from Stone? And of course that means nothing to me.
Right.
He's like, babe, he's from right around the corner from me. Like,
nuts.
That's nuts, right?
Because when I told him I was coming on as well, he actually did mention, he was like, oh yeah, Robbie's mad about football. He actually said that when I said I was coming on.
Robbie is obsessed. Like, literally, like, honestly, when quarantine happened, I think that was his biggest upsettedness, was that football had to stop. Like, honestly, he's counting down the days till he can, like, just fully immerse again. It's all Sky Sports is all that plays in our house on the weekends. Like, even in LA, he'll get up early for the games. Like,
oh God, yeah.
With his little tops. Like, he's, you know, he gets really aggressive and excited when a goal happens. He's like my little baby football man. He gets his little English mates over. I make him, like, my mother-in-law will bring, she's like, you know, like Maria full of grace. She stows away oatcakes on the plane like a drug mule. And she comes. And then so we have tons of oatcakes frozen. So we will defrost the oatcakes for the English friends with the pickles and the, you know, and that's the weekend.
There's always
in LA, our house is like Brits abroad, because everyone's from England anyway. Like, there's so few people from LA in my house, and I'm always the foreigner, whether I'm here or there.
I love that. Now,
how often do you have to go back and forth between LA and the UK right now?
So right now I'm good, but last year was, and we don't know still, like, at the moment they're planning, like, they have us kind of in the headspace of like, you'll be going back in September. But honestly, no one knows.
No one knows.
But last year was nuts. I think I traveled probably more than I traveled ever. It was like every three weeks probably, whether I was going or coming. And then even the beginning of this year, because I still perform as well. So I still had shows. So sometimes I'd like leave the show, go perform, go straight back to the show, come back here. Like it was nuts.
Oh my God, that's nuts.
Oh, it was nuts. That 12-hour flight is not cute. It's just
no,
nuts.
And the jet lag is really not pretty. It's like, especially going that way, especially going to England. It's
horrible.
Not a good look.
Yeah, it's horrible. So I have to say, as bad as, you know, God forbid.
Quarantine it. Yeah. Quarantine. At least you're getting to be in one place for
this in a very bit where we have not had this amount of time in probably years. Honestly,
that's exactly what Robbie and I said. We said, cause like usually, you know, he's running around all over the place, you know, flying to this gig, doing those, you know, and we probably have, I would say every 3 weeks, he's on a plane going somewhere to do something. This is the first time in years, like maybe since before we had kids, we've actually been in the same place for months on end with, and it's been, you know, that's been like a blessing in the midst of all this like shitty stuff is that like, we're all getting to kind of like hunker down, you know, like, especially if you're someone that goes back and forth like this, there is like a real blessing in getting to root down.
That part has been really nice. That part of just sitting still is so fucking important. And it's like
so important and so overlooked all the time.
I know. Because I feel like anyone who's busy or has a busy life or kids or whatever, we kind of lie to ourselves and say, well, I'll do it this weekend. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll do this. But you know what? That shit might not happen. So
100%.
We all need to take, you know, sitting still and taking care of ourselves or taking care of the people we love or connecting a little more seriously. That is hugely important. That's what I've learned a lot from this whole crazy time.
Yeah. Totally. So. I feel like the connectedness, I feel like I really enjoy how in some ways simple things have gotten because just like we were talking about the hair and the nails, all those things, you know, you're constantly skipping to, oh, I've got to do this. I should do this. And you know, whether it's career related or self-care, what you're constantly like kind of rushing and stumbling to the next thing you've got to do. And this kind of forced the conversation to go a little more quiet, a little more still. Yeah. And it's really kind of put things in perspective on what's important. Also just like taking what's necessary. What's not necessary.
Totally. Yeah. I refuse to like, I mean, I feel very blessed that I'm able to do the show with Zoom and everything, but I think it is that flying the way I flew. I don't want to have to do that. I just don't.
That's intense. I mean, I kind of remember Sharon used to do
the show over here is like,
yeah, I don't know how she did it.
She would literally leave on a Thursday night or no, not even. Yeah. Thursday.
Yeah. Cause then she could arrive on a Friday, do the show and then come back. It's insane. But you know, it's like, it is that thing where like, we are so fortunate in this position to be able to work, even though there's this quarantine, but also to not put our bodies through that, you know, like I think going forward, I don't even know that that's going to be possible for several years to be flying back and forth like that, you know, like just on a health tip. What are you going to do? What are you doing for, by the way? Cause I know Rob is in the same kind of boat. Cause I remember reading that you were going on tour and you had shows this summer. And I was just talking to your manager about Glastonbury, which is like, oh, my heart broke for you. Cause I was like, oh, and I know that like Rob kind of had Vegas this year and other shows and festivals. It's like, how do you feel? And this is a question I don't even think I've asked him is like where is your head? Cause you're an artist, you're a performer. Like, how do you, like, how are you kind of taking that energy and those vibes and that creative process, and how are you kind of using that in quarantine in England, you know, like how are you translating it? Cause Rob started writing music.
Yeah. I think for me, the show has definitely kept me busy. I have to say we're probably busier than I would be if I was there, only because we're now working every day. We used to have a 4-day week. So now every day and we're doing extra little things in between, but musically I kind of, First of all, performing is like my most favorite thing in the world. It's like, it's my happy place and the place I feel like I am most myself and at any given time. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure my computer does not shut off.
It will not. I will not let that happen. It will not.
And yeah, so I have to say I'm disappointed because this would have been my first year of festivals. I've never done festivals. And I was so like, this is
amazing. I know, my heart broke for you when I read that. I was like, no, it's not this year.
And we we literally were already working on the visuals. Like my manager who you talked to, Billy, that's my creative like tennis partner. Like
back and forth.
And we were so excited. I actually am really sad for Billy though, poor thing. I don't know if he's listening because he loves Glastonbury. He's been before. And I had never
been. It's amazing. Before. That's what I mean. Like, because like being American, Glastonbury is like, you know, way on the other side of the world. It's not something, you know, we hear about Coachella.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Burning Man.
Burning Man, exactly. Yeah. But like Glastonbury, that's like the holy grail in Europe of festivals.
Literally. And so, yeah, I mean, that part I was super disappointed about. But at the same time, I'm like, I am writing poems more, which is how I kind of started writing music. And that part has been really nice because I think over the last few years, me and management were like, let's go and get this album. Let's write this album. I was happy about it and we put out like a song and then I kind of pulled back and it's kind of nice to be in this kind of like raw creative space that I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Unless once I get enough of it, maybe then I might share it. So that part has been nice because I feel like I've gone back to the roots of, I love words, which is why I started rapping. And I feel like I've gone back to that of like, I'm thinking something. I just want to write it down. I want to make it this. It's an emotion or whatever. So that has been great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like Rob. I mean, I think it's like the same thing. Also, is like at first he didn't want to do anything. He felt kind of crestfallen about all the gigs that he couldn't do. And there was this kind of like mourning period where he just kind of was drawing or doing other things, you know, and all of a sudden then I think in the midst of it, he realized there was no pressure to do anything. And that actually made him feel creative again. And he's, you know, he's the same kind of thing. He's more a poet in the sense that his words are how he express, you know, he doesn't play the piano. He doesn't play the guitar, but he writes words, you know, and I've noticed kind of like a renaissance in him. Whilst I would just say the past few weeks is when he really has started to want to write again out of his own kind of, because he has to, not because he should, just because all of a sudden something creatively has been still in him.
You said it right there of it's the pressure. I think people don't realize like, yeah, while we are blessed and thank you, God, thank you, universe, thank you, angels for my life. It goes from those first few years where it's just excitement, where you've gotten signed and it's all new. Then you're a business. Then you have to maintain that business.
And you're supporting lots of people too. You're
supporting lots of people. You also have, you know, there are people who are needing an album, needing this. That creative part almost gets pushed down sometimes.
Yeah. It gets suffocated about like all the, like the business side of things and all the like functionary things. Totally. And they kind of get, you know, like I feel like even Rob said for like a long time, it was about like finding the hit too, like making sure he found the hit and got the album out, and the album supports the tour and the whole machine that's involved with that. Yeah. And it can like stifle that creative process that you started with, which was just the need to express yourself in a way.
That is it. So that it has been good. I think I've done a lot. I mean, it's been nice to kind of just discover shit about me, like without being.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, how is it you now? Okay, so like, you know, when you first started rapping, which is like just so impressive. And I feel like there's another question I had that I read about the sisterhood thing, which was like, wow. When I read that, I was like, wow, I had no idea about it not really being a sisterhood. Because in my brain space, it was like, yeah, it was like you and Missy Elliott and Lil' Kim. You know, it was like,
well,
that shouldn't
say,
be
like,
a
Missy. Yeah,
Missy's cool. Is she Missy cool?
Were okay, but certain people, there was a teeny small, I could count on one, it's probably two girls.
Wow. See, I would think like female rappers
she's
would
the best. She is.
I'm glad she's great because I've always looked up to her. So I'm like, I'm glad to hear that she's great.
What's funny is like,
No, no, no. Go.
I'm like, I think I'm having a delay. My bad.
Oh, no.
But yeah, when I first got in it though, I did think it was this whole big, like, hey girl, come be on my record, girl. And I'm gonna be on your record, girl. And that shit.
And it wasn't like that.
No,
it wasn't.
I would go up to people and be so excited. Cause they're the girls that I used to smoke blunts to the back, you know, in the back of cars and listen.
Of course.
I'm gonna be in the business. And some of them I would go up to and they'd be like, yeah, they hit me with the have your people call my people shit.
Oh no. How? That's like when a guy breaks up with you and he's like, it's not you, it's me. That's horrible.
They hit me with that. But I have to say, over the years, some of the girls who we might not have clicked, and at that time, you know how it was, like hip hop, they kind of pitted you against these, like one girl for one crew and all that
right.
shit. But as we got older, I have to say, there's a few girls who we might have had those that head bump, and now we're super cool. And it's probably just because we're older and like
getting older and like evolving and chilling out a bit.
Yeah, like fuck it, nobody cares. Like
nobody cares. Well, because also you're so like hungry when you're young too, and it's like it's like, you know, like I definitely, as I've gotten older, I believe in this notion of abundance. You know, like for me, you know, like the universe. Abundance, you know, if somebody has something, it doesn't mean they've taken it away from you. And I think 100%. When you're younger, there's this notion of like, well, if she has it, then I don't, you know, or like they got that job, I didn't, you know, and I think that really has to do with, just getting older and kind of like, and also like, I'm sure it's the same with you, like having a family and a husband, it's not just you anymore. It changes, you know, it's like your career, your stuff isn't the only thing on deck, you know, and it kind of gives you other things that you're so passionate about that it's not just the career that makes you happy.
100%. And I agree with you too, with the abundance. I truly do believe that we wouldn't all be here if there wasn't enough for all of us. You just have to figure out in your life,
your lane.
And we all have one.
We all have a lane. And no one can take the lane away from us. Our lane is our own to create. We lay the pavement for our lane each day, you know, and just because someone else does well and their lane is shiny and sparkly doesn't mean you have a less sparkly lane. You find it.
100%.
But like, that's what I was going to ask is like, okay, so now like, you know, if you look back at, you know, you were this girl in LA and you were starting your career and you were young and you're a rapper and now you're married and you have four kids and you live in England. Like, have you noticed how the poetry has changed or has it changed?
Has my poetry changed? So I've always been very honest in my work, my, I guess, poetry or music, or I would say music. Like, I've always written what I know or what I've lived or whatever. I think it's changed in a sense that I'm more comfortable with being vulnerable, and I'm more comfortable with being even more, I won't say even more honest, extremely honest, brutally honest with myself, my emotions. And I think with hip hop especially, while I was as super real and all those lyrics were me, there is a level of showing up.
Like a front. But that's the thing is like when you're young, it is like your confidence is your front because you don't really have it yet.
100%.
You're trying to prove to the world that you are this thing and you got this and you do, you know, and in a sense that is the real you. But in the other sense, it is kind of the superhero you'd like to be.
Yes.
There's a difference between the connection of who you are really, which is you can have moments of doubt and insecurity, but when you're young, you don't want to show those.
No way.
You can't be fabulous with insecurity. Whereas like when you get older, those are the things that make you fabulous, is being able to go, hey, I feel small about myself right now.
Exactly.
And this is why. And expressing that. Well, I guess, I mean, listen, I feel like I could talk to you for like 800 hours.
Me too, I know.
This is like so annoying that I'm like 6,000 miles away from you because all I want to do is just come over and have a glass of wine with a mask and just hang.
Exactly.
We'll sit in a garden, whether it's raining or not, and we'll just have a little cocktail and lift the mask up and then, you know, just lift. We'll have our vapes.
Yes.
But, you know, it's been so nice. I feel like it's just so weird how small the universe is and how like, you know, you and Sean McGuire, and now our husbands from Stoke-on-Trent, and here we are living in LA. You know, I married a musician, you're a musician, your husband's, you know, it's just like, it's there's no one else I really know. I don't have another friend or person I know that's from LA or lives in LA and married to someone in Stoke-on-Trent and goes back and forth in the entertainment industry.
We're the only two unicorns.
We're the only two. We're the only two unicorns, and thank God they met us.
Right. Exactly.
Thank God. Thank God for them. But yes. I just really cannot thank you enough for taking the time to do this podcast with me. I'm such a fan of yours. You're like a fun human to talk to. You're smart and you're cool. And you've always been sparkly and amazing to me. And it's so nice to actually spend the time talking to you to realize and understand that you are that person I've always thought, which is incredible.
Postcards from the Edge. I love Eve so much. I could have chatted to her for hours. And what are the chances that we are both American girls married to Englishmen from Stoke-on-Trent? That's freaky. Thanks so much, Eve, for coming on. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with another terrific episode of Postcards from the Edge.
If you enjoyed this episode, please, please subscribe. I mean, it's actually begging. Rate us, review us, all the 5 stars, all the bells and whistles, please, wherever you find your podcasts. Seriously, desperate for a good review. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Postcards from the Edge is a Blueprint Pods production. Executive producer Sophie Palak and producer Warren Borg. Postcards from the Edge.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.